Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, the last chapter in the book of Joshua. We've been studying the man Joshua, and we've looked at his early beginnings, and we looked into the book of Joshua. We've been in there for the last 24 chapters here as we've been studying this, and Joshua is coming to the end of his life. He's wanting to fulfill all of God's purpose for his life, and God is continuing to use him. And he's done so much here in counseling the nation of Israel once they're in their land, and how he was challenging them, charging them. Last week we studied, he gave them a history lesson. And sometimes we need to go back and study our history as far as what God has done for us, and how God has blessed us in this great nation that we live in, how God has blessed us and our families and our salvation and our church, and also just go back on a journey of your past, a history lesson. And that's what Joshua did with Israel, taking them all the way back to the flood and understanding what took place on the other side of the flood before God destroyed the world with the flood, and then, of course, what's taken place since that time. So they went all the way back to history of God's children, all the way back to the flood, and so we find that they learned a lot from that. And he said, because of that, he said, now therefore, and then he used that, said, with this history, now that you know who God is and you're reminded of who God is, then fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So what a blessing that has been up to verse 14. Tonight we'll be looking at verse 15 down to verse 18. So go ahead and stand with me, and we'll read the next few verses here. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be in church. And Lord, just to be able to continue to study the life of Joshua and what you have for us. And I pray, God, that you would open up each and every one of our hearts and minds to receive that message that you have for us individually and for us collectively as a church family. Pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. What we find here in verse 15, and that's the key verse that we're going to be looking at here tonight, and it's an invitation. Once he has reminded them of who God is, he got them to think back and go back in a history lesson yourself and study those things. And then because of you know who God is, because of the history, because of what he's done and all the past, then we ought to have that desire to serve him, and we ought to do what God would have us to do. But then he gives us invitation, and this invitation is to choose. To make them aware of it's a choice. And if it seem evil unto you, that means if you do not believe that is the good, the right, and the good thing to do and the way to live your life, if serving the Lord God, as long as you know who he is and you don't want to serve him, seems evil to you, there's a better or different way that you prefer to live, choose you. but choose you this day. You got to make the choice whom you will serve. An invitation to choose. Joshua, now realizing who Joshua is the man of God. He is God's representation. God is working through Joshua to be able to reveal God's message to God's people. And in God's message, we find God's message is God's will. So Joshua's there, and he's being used of God to present this truth, this understanding, to God's people concerning God's will. Make your decision. That's what he's telling them. He's going to be gone. He's done all he can do. Getting ready, we're going to find in the passing of Joshua. But he says, make your decision concerning your worship and service to your God. It's between you and God, most importantly. It's your decision, but be aware of that decision. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that God's given me a free will. I must choose God. He's not going to force me. If I'm going to live to serve God, I'm going to choose to do that. But it is my choice. It's your choice. All of us, this is a choice that God wants you to make individually. He wants you to choose Him. Isn't that something? God wants you to choose Him. You've heard me use the illustration about the grandchildren. You know, just take something out of it when you come to the grandkids, especially when they're little and they don't want anything to do with you, and the parent says, go hug your grandpa. Go hug your grandpa. And they come over crying tears and everything else and make a halfway attempt to put their arms around your legs, and that doesn't do a whole lot for me. But when you see your grandchild and they see you and you make eye contact and their eyes open up wide and they start running after you because of their own free will, they chose to come and give you a hug. That makes all the difference in the world. That's what God wants. He could have made us robotic. Programmed every one of us to do what we're going to do out of robotics. But that's not the God we serve. God wants His creation, His crown of creation, what He created everything else for, to choose Him. We must know that God wants us to choose Him, and we must be aware of our own personal decision. Yeah. So first of all here, as we study this, and that's what Joshua's getting across. That's what he wants. That's what God has him there to accomplish, to be able to get across to Israel. Now I'm getting ready to leave, and you've been following me, and you've been doing what I've asked you to do, and you've understood I've been the leaders. But I'm going to go on to heaven. I'm not going to be here to persuade you any longer. And so I want you to be aware of who God is, first of all, and then the freedom that you have, that God has given every one of us, to choose Him or not. It's an invitation to choose. An invitation to choose means you have options. We play a scramble on our golf tournament, and the scramble is you got four people in each one of the scrambles, and each one hit the ball, and then you have options. You can choose whichever one of those balls that you want to choose, and everybody goes to that. You agree on that choice, and then you get another shot. But you have options. It's always, unless everybody puts it out of bounds and only have one in play, then your option, you still have an option. You can take the penalty, you know, but pretty clear which one we're going to use, which choice we're going to make. Yeah. But But God wants us to choose. God will never force his will on man. He had to allow Adam to partake of that forbidden fruit. He saw it. He was experiencing it, there's no doubt about it. God sees everything. He knows all things. But because of the free will of man and the way God created humanity, he had to stand back and allow him to choose. He stands back and watches us over us, and he allows you to make every choice. We make choices, decisions every day. And God is aware of every decision that we make. You have options. 2 Peter, let me just read it to you. You can write it down. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. But to understand that we have a free will and that God will not force us. He will not force his will on us, even though it's his will for our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant." I don't want you to be misinformed. I don't want you to be out somewhere else not understanding about what I'm talking about making choices, decisions. "Be not ignorant of this, of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Every decision we have, this is what God sees of it. Our lifetime and everything else, be not ignorant that we have all this time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's not willing that any. It's not God's will for any to die and go to hell. It's not God's will for any to sin. It's not God's will for any to turn and choose other gods. But even though it's not God's will, God will not force his will. Because people do die and go to hell, not because it's God's will. People do sin, not because it's God's will. Because you made a choice. We make choices. So he says, if it seems evil, if you think evil or wrong to serve God, then don't. Joshua, I think if we get older, you just get blunt. You know, hey, stop trying. I don't want to babysit you any longer. I don't want to spoon feed you any longer. I've done all I did. It's the end of my life. If you're going to do it, if it seems evil, if you don't want to do it, just don't. No one's forcing you to get saved. No one's forcing you to read your Bible. No one's forcing you to come to church. No one's forcing you to live as God would have you to live. So if you think it evil, if you think that there's a better way to live life and you choose a different way of living life, then go ahead. You have that choice. You have that liberty. You have those options. Serve who you believe is best. Now, examine the consequences of your decision. When you make the choice, make sure that you have all the facts. Make sure that you have all the information that you need to be able to make a right decision. Because there are consequences to your decisions. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you're going to die and you're going to go to the devil's hell. That's just the way it is. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven by choice. If you're going to have God's blessings on your life, you're going to have God's blessings on your life by choice. Verse 15, he says, "Seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day." You're going to choose whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Your fathers, before the earth was destroyed, every man, woman, and child had the opportunity to choose me. They chose the some other small letter G gods, something other than that would separate them from their God, and they chose to live according to other gods and not the God. And because the evil grew to the point, would it made God's stomach sick? God destroyed the world with the flood. So realize, you can serve those gods, but that's what happens to those who serve those small letter G gods instead of the only true God, is you're going to die, and you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling them right there. Examine the consequences of your decisions. Make sure that you are very much aware of the decision that you're making, but be aware of the decision you're making and how it's going to impact your life. You can serve the gods that your father served and were destroyed in the flood. And don't expect a different outcome. It won't be a flood. It'll be as by fire. But I will destroy all that. Not because I want to destroy humanity, but because humanity chose the way of destruction. You can choose that, or you can choose the Lord that has done great things for you. Which should be an obvious choice. Should be a no-brainer. Amen. The gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Serve ye the Lord that has done what he has done to bring you through out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and all the history that we've already studied. It's basically what he's saying. What he's doing. Yeah. You will choose. Your choices will not only impact your life, and they will, and there's consequences to your life and your choices. But your choices will impact others. Your choices will impact, first of all, the closest ones to you. It will impact your family. God would never want to see a broken home, a dysfunctional home. You say, why would God allow that? Why would God call? God doesn't cause that. God has already established that he has to give man a free will, and man has to choose. And there are consequences to their choices. It's not that God wants bad things to happen to good people. It's not. But just like in Adam, when he saw Adam, after he saw how Satan had tempted Eve, and he seen that Eve's weakness, but God had not spoken directly to Eve. God spoke directly to Adam, and Adam passed that down to Eve. And so Adam was more at fault here. And he saw Eve pass that to Adam, and he saw Adam think about what he was getting ready to do. And he heard the very thoughts of Adam thinking, I know I'm not supposed to do this. I know God has told me that I will surely die if I do this. But I have a choice. And he chose. And God had to allow it. Because of that, his whole family suffered. But he was aware of his choice. We're aware of our choices. We will choose. There is consequences. It will impact not only our lives, it will impact our families. It'll impact your friends. It'll impact society. You know, every person that serves in any position of government was placed there by choice, by the people's choices. Wow. I mean, we know that, but do we really think about that? We deserve what we get. Now, afterwards, you look back and you think, well, maybe I was deceived. Maybe I thought this. Maybe this is going to happen. I voted because this. But the way that we have established this great nation is that you vote and the voice of the people place other people in position to govern the very land that we live in. And some voice has influenced everyone that voted for every political office in our government. Are we not influencing enough people with the truths of God so that we can find the right voices and the right choices being made to put the right people in offices to make the decisions that we have to live by? It's a choice. I believe God's in heaven saying, well, I want more for America. I want more for this country. I want more for this state. I want more for this city. But I've got to allow them to choose. And when they choose, there's consequences to those choices. And it will impact the very society that we live in. Joshua wants them to know you have a choice, but you must choose. So make up your mind, because there's no neutral ground. You're either going to serve the Lord God or you're going to serve the gods, small letter G gods. And you've seen what happens to those that serve them. No neutral ground. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus wanted us to understand that as well, New Testament Christianity. Matthew chapter 6. Everybody following me tonight? Yeah. Joshua, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19, I think this has a lot to do with making the right choices. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. You're going to make a decision if you're going to live your life just for wealth. If that's the main thing that gets you up in the morning, motivates you to do what you do, everything is about making money. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Nothing wrong with having things. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand here. But is that your heart? Is that your heartbeat? Is that what you choose to motivate your life? Is that your idea of success? Lay not up for yourselves. Jesus said, don't do that. That's not what's going to lead you to make right choices. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, because that's what's actually going to happen to it and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's a mindset of living my life with heaven in view, living my life with knowing who God is and making choices not based upon what I want, but based upon what God's will is for my life. Treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, verse 24, no man can have both. Because it's opposite directions. You've got to choose what path that you're going to walk on and what's going to direct your life. So he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. But ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve the only true creator God and continue to serve the small letter G gods. God's giving you a choice, but God's a jealous God. You're to have no other gods before me. I want you to choose me. You have a choice, but there's options, really only two options in the root of things. You choose me or you choose the world. You choose anything but me. Because choosing me, it's a straight and narrow. But you have a choice. So now that you know who I am, choose. You have a choice, and so choose. If you think it evil, if you don't think that's the best life for you to live and you don't want to live for God, you don't have God the Father as your heavenly Father, you think there's something better for you, then go ahead and do it, but don't try to cover it up. Be honest with yourself and everyone else. You're going to serve God or not, and then you make the choice. God is looking and he's overseeing and he wants you to make this choice, but if you don't want to make that choice, if you think that's evil, then you choose whatever you want and suffer the consequences. And that's what Joshua was telling them. See, Joshua was not afraid of them making a wrong decision as long as they examine their options in the light of the truth. How can someone not choose God? Well, somehow they've been influenced not to truly believe who God is. Because if you know the truth and it's in the light of God and you see everything's connected to the will of God and the blessings of God and the person of God, and you go back over your history, listen to me, that is to help you to see the reality of God and what the blessings of God can be and will be if we choose God. Even in the darkest hours, if we choose God, that is the greatest help. But it's a choice that every one of us have to make. Every day. Every day. An invitation is not to apply pressure. It's an opportunity to choose. Every time I preach, every time we have a service here at the church, there's an invitation. Were you just trying to apply pressure that people will make? No, no, listen. God does not want us to make a decision, and he doesn't give us an invitation to apply pressure. He gives us an invitation as an opportunity. Because what God is doing when you're hearing the preaching of the Word of God, he is taking the blinders off of your mind. He is taking the darkness out of your sight, and he's helping you to see the truth. In his spirit, bearing witness with your spirit and trying to help you to realize what's going on inside of you and what your decisions are doing in your life and other people's lives, and the circumstances and the outcome of those decisions are based upon your choices. And it's an opportunity. Now that the lights come on and God has blinded the devil and taken the devil's blinders off of you, and he's helped you to see the truth through the Word of God being preached or taught in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see the truth. Now, I'm not putting pressure on you as we give an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity. Do you want to fail? How many have ever been driving and you realize that you were going the wrong way? We went to Arizona and we were supposed to be going down to Tucson because I had a meeting there, and I accidentally hit the wrong button on my GPS and it was taking us up to Phoenix. And I thought, well, I know I hit the right, so I didn't even look at it. And the stupid thing kept messing up and saying, make a U-turn. As soon as possible, make a U-turn. And I'm thinking, something's messed up with this thing. I know I pressed in the right thing. But I shut it off. Because I thought, I know I'm going in the right. I know where I'm going. I just shut it off. Until I started realizing it's getting colder. Now, when you go south, it's supposed to get warmer. When you go north, it's getting colder. And we were there and realized the snow's around us. And I thought, we might not be going in the right direction. And I turned it back on. Soon as possible, make a U-turn. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, I hit the wrong button. One thing about going the wrong direction, I was traveling at a pretty high rate. We was making good time, but going in the wrong direction. How many of us want to make good time by going in the wrong direction? I'm getting there really fast, but it's not where I want to go. When you realize I'm going in the wrong direction and God opens an opportunity as soon as possible, make a U-turn to do it. That's what preaching does. That's what being in a church service does. It's God helping you to see you pressed the wrong button. You're going in the wrong direction. You're never going to arrive where you want to arrive if you don't turn around. And that invitation gives us an opportunity to make a decision to turn around. Yeah, you can shut the preacher off because I'm saying, as soon as possible, make a U-turn. That's what I'm doing. I've heard it before. I know what I want. I know where I'm going. Turn you off. Until you realize that wasn't me. That was the Spirit of God working through the preaching. And you're going in a wrong direction. And you'll never reach where you want to be if you're going in a wrong direction. You have an opportunity. Joshua said, I'm giving you an opportunity. You have choices. God has designed us for the free will. You have a choice. Choose you. Make the decision. Make the choice. I don't have much time, so I can't finish all this, but let me. The second thing here I want to present is Joshua uses his own influence to help them to make the right choice. When you see others making the wrong choices, going in the wrong direction, you can't make the decision for them, but you can use your influence to help them to turn around, to help them to make a right decision. All will be influenced by someone or something. And what you allow yourself to be influenced by will determine the decisions we make. And there's two roots of influences. Two roots of influences. The root of the Spirit of God and what God might use to help you to make the right choices. It's still your choice, but God is using certain things to bring come into our lives to help influence us to make a right choice. But you choose. But God sends you the influences that's going to help you. At the same time, the devil is the root of the other choice, the other influence. And the devil is likewise going to send influences into your life to get you to make that choice. It's your choosing, but there's influences in our lives that impact our choices. We have a battle with Satan working through the lust of the flesh, pride of life, own desires. Our spirit will be influenced by either an evil spirit of the devil or the Holy Spirit of God. We choose which one we're going to let in and influence us. That's something that's taken place inside of us. That's that spiritual influence in our lives. We have parents have a huge impact on the lives of children and how that you're being raised and how they're influencing you to make the right choices. You have teachers in your life. You can look back over the history, you can see God, but you can also see people that God has brought into your life to be an influence for you to make the right choices, to help you, that helped you to make the choices that you've made to be in church and to serve God and live right. There's friends that God sends to you, and sometimes he wants you to be that friend to somebody else that's going to help use your influence as a friend to help them turn around because they're blinded to it. They've turned off the GPS. They're going in the wrong direction, but they think they're in the right direction. And you're there to help them to see, no. Let me use my influence to help you to realize you're going in the wrong direction. You're going north. You need to be going south. Yeah. You got your heroes. Do you know how many followers each athlete has? The social media today, I mean, that's what they look at. Your popularity and your worth is based on how many followers you have. Millions and whatever. I don't understand all. I just know that's what's going on. And some of the influence of these athletes have led to the people in office that's in office and changing society that has been changed. And we've allowed our own children to be influenced by these heroes, and their influences have been impacting the influence of our children, and they're going to grow up to make some of the very same wrong, bad decisions that's going to govern our country and who they vote for, and because they want to vote for whoever my hero votes for. That's happening. Who is your children's heroes? Who are your heroes? If they're your heroes, then they're going to influence your choices. World news is going to influence. What's happening around the world? How is that impacting America? On and on and on and on. And that's that world influence. What is accepted in the world? What directions we go in? Who's UFOs coming out, and so, well, there's UFOs, then there must not be, the Bible must not be accurate when it comes to God's creation and all the different, you see how information like that will impact your thinking and cause you to maybe make wrong decisions, first of all, on who God is and what God's will is for your life. You'll choose your version of God based on these influences. You'll choose your belief in the Bible based on influences a lot of times. You'll choose your stand on morality and lifestyle based on influences. You'll choose your acceptance of language or words that you use based on influences. Children are going to use the words that they hear come out of the mouths of the parents. Is that really how you want them to communicate? Is that the kind of language you want them to use in communicating with their friends and society? It's sad today, the language that is being used in society, the language that is coming across the public TV stations that are influencing our children. No matter what you tell them, and they're allowing these other things, if the world's doing that's language that's acceptable in the world. It's not just a coincidence that even in primetime television right now, they're allowed to use God's name in vain. They can't maybe use a couple other cuss words, but they can use God's name in vain. And that's getting across the message to our children that it's all right to use God's name. No, that's not all right. But it's influencing our society today. Because they have a choice. Joshua knew that the people would need to be confident in what they would choose. And so he's using his influence. And he says, but as for me, whatever kind of influence I have over you, I want you to know, as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. Let's use that influence. Let's use that. Let's be confident in that decision. And then let's use that to help others to make right decisions. As we, go ahead and bow your head at this time. We got to stop. We'll pick it up next week. What a powerful message in the life of Joshua. What a powerful truth that we all need to be aware of. When there's an invitation given, use your influence for people to make the right decision. An invitation is not applying pressure. You have to see it as an invitation is opening a door of opportunity. What can I do to help them to make the right decision? Help them to do that. I wish everyone that was convicted to make a right decision after a church service, I wish they would have all made them while they had the chance. Many that did not had to suffer the consequences of those decisions they did make and the failure to choose God. Maybe if we would have prayed a little harder, maybe if we would have went forward and prayed for them, knowing that they had a decision made to make, and it was an invitation for them to make a decision, what can I do to help? An opportunity. See it as an opportunity. Father, we bow before you, and we love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you for the time we've been able to spend here looking at this verse or so in the book of Joshua and how it might help us to see clearly what Joshua is getting across to the nation of Israel, that we have a choice. God has given us a choice. You know how important it is for us to choose right. Help our people to be an influence and use the influence to help others to choose right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.